Joshua chapter number 1 this evening, in your copy of the scriptures, Joshua 1, as we begin a new series of study through the book of Joshua. I have a bit of trivia for you this evening as we begin. I would ask you to answer in your own mind and keep score for yourself. Question number 1. Who was the President of the United States after Abraham Lincoln? The years, if you need to know, 1865 to 1869. The president after Abraham Lincoln, more specifically than simply answering the vice president. The correct answer is Andrew Johnson. Question number 2. Who was the prime minister of England after Winston Churchill? Some of you may remember. Answer, is it Clement Attlee? Question number 3. Who was the chairman of Chrysler after Lee Iacocca? 1993, new chairman of Chrysler by the name of Bob Eaton. Now, we don't readily know these men because they are obscured by the great men that preceded them. And such would have been the case for Joshua standing in the shadow of Moses if it weren't for the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua tells us that God used Joshua in every bit as great a way as God ever used his predecessor Moses. The book of Joshua has been called a bridge book, just like the book of Acts, that links the life of Jesus Christ to the life of the New Testament church. So Joshua serves as a bridge from Israel's exodus and wilderness wanderings to Israel's conquest and settling of the promised land. The book of Joshua begins where the book of Deuteronomy concludes. Moses, the servant of the Lord, is dead. Joshua, the new leader, the new commander of God's people, Israel, takes the helm. I've titled this first message in a new series from the book of Joshua, The Commander's Commission. Let's pause for prayer. Lord God, we thank you for preserving us through the storms of the day. Lord, certainly as we listen to the thunder and we witness the lightning flashing, we were reminded of your great and awesome power. Lord, this evening we humbly bow before you, the omnipotent God. Lord, it's with eagerness and anticipation that we come to the scriptures with a desire to be taught by your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that you would go before us in our study this evening as we look at the life of Joshua and all the mighty works that you wrought by his hand in the book of Joshua. I pray, Lord, that you would give us insight and understanding that might make a difference in our lives as we go from this place. For I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. It has been 40 years since God delivered the Hebrew people from Egypt. Following their miraculous escape from Pharaoh in Egypt through the Red Sea, God led them to Sinai, where he gave them his law, and then he brought them to the border of the promised land at Kadesh Barnea. But Israel acted in unbelief at Kadesh Barnea, accepting the testimony of the 10 faithless spies rather than the report of the 2 faithful spies in Numbers 14. They did not trust God, but rather they feared man. They did not have the courage to obey the Lord, but were cowards, disobeying God's direction through their leader Moses. And the consequence was 40 years of wilderness wandering. That must have been a bitter pill for Moses to swallow, for as the greatest leader of all time, he was rebuffed by the people he led. He was forced to spend the next 40 years of his life babysitting the children of Israel as they wandered in the desert, complaining and grumbling against him. Is it any wonder that Moses was frustrated at times, even striking the rock for water? He wanted to be in the promised land, but felt as though he was wasting his life in the desert. You'll remember there were 2 faithful spies that Moses had sent in to the promised land at Kadesh Barnea. One was Joshua, the other was Caleb. And even after seeing Israel's enemies there, Joshua was yet full of faith. And it was Joshua and Caleb who spoke to the congregation of Israel, saying this in Numbers chapter 14. The land we pass through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. In the vernacular, we will eat them for lunch, is what Joshua and Caleb are saying. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Numbers 14, verses 6 through 10. You see, in Joshua and Caleb's mind, there was no doubt about the promises of God. The promises of God began back in Genesis chapter 12 and were repeated many times over to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. Moses himself had recorded the promises of God in the Pentateuch under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So for Joshua, he was ready to move forward. But for the people of Israel, they wanted to turn back. So alas, after 40 years, a time when a whole generation died, God now calls Joshua to lead the charge in the conquest and the settling of the promised land. And so we find ourselves at Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 1. Follow as I read. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Number one in your notes, if you're following my outline as I've given you in the bulletin, number one, God's promises to give. God's promises to give. Verses 1 through 5 are packed with the promises of God to Joshua. Interestingly enough, however, this is a repeat of God's promises to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 11. In fact, I want you to look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, while I read God's promises to Moses from Deuteronomy chapter 11. I hope you're looking at verses 3 through 5. Deuteronomy 11 says, every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the western sea, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand against you. Deuteronomy 11:24 and 25. Here now, God is extending the very same promise that he made to Moses. He's now giving it to Joshua, and he does so in two specific ways. First, letter A, the promise of provision of property. Provision of property. God intended to give Israel a defined piece of real estate. It is very specific. I don't know how there could be any misunderstanding of these geographical boundaries or any dispute after reading this text. It is the great desert in the south. It's the Lebanese mountains in the north. The Mediterranean Sea to the west. The great river, the river Euphrates to the east. That is very clear. If only the United Nations would read this. If only the Palestinians would read this. If only Israel would read this. Never mind the boundaries that were established in 1967. How about the boundaries that God established in the Bible? And God makes a promise to Joshua. The promise of property, provision of property. The promise was first one of property, but the promise wasn't only to Joshua in this text. It wasn't only to Moses in Deuteronomy 11. We can back up all the way to Genesis 15, verse 18, where God gave the very same promise to Abraham. Listen to this, Genesis 15. The Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt, the Nile, to the great river, the river Euphrates. God's promise is to give provision of property. Secondly, God gave a promise of protection. Let it be protection by His presence. God's protective presence was a promise made to Moses at the burning bush, if you recall, in Exodus chapter 3. But better than making a promise is keeping a promise, after all. And God kept His promise to Moses in the pillar of cloud by day, and in the pillar of fire by night. God's presence resided in the holy place in the tabernacle. So God made a promise to Moses. God kept that promise to Moses. And here now God is making the same promise to Joshua. Just as He had been with Moses, so He would also be with Joshua. I'm going to pause for a moment this evening and ask us to think of the promises of God. Has God made any promises to us? Are there any promises that you could name or claim this evening? Someone has calculated that there are 3,000 promises of God in the Bible. Did you know that? 3,000. Let me give you a few this evening. God promises forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. God promises forgiveness. 1 John 1:9. God promises protection. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord is faithful who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. We don't always feel safe, but we are. Psalm 4:8 says, I will both lie me down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. God promises protection. Along those same lines, God promises His presence. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, Matthew 28:20. God promises to return for us someday, a day that we don't know, but someday the Lord will return for us. John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14:2-3. God promises direction. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. If you do, you'll fall over. You can't lean on yourself. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Proverbs 3:5-6. God promises full sanctification. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will perform it or complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God promises provision. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God promises strength and health and help. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God promises deliverance from temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God promises to hear our prayer. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. 1 Peter 3:12. God promises to keep His promise. God promises to keep His promises. God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said and will He not do? Or has He spoken and He will not make it good? Numbers 23:19. God has made many, many promises to us in the pages of the Scriptures. And all of the promises that I have just rehearsed are very familiar to us. What do we do with the promises of God? May I suggest that we take God at His word, we name them, and we claim them, and with them, we find courage to move forward at His direction. In the commissioning of a new commander to lead Israel, God promised Joshua the provision of property, and secondly, protection by His presence. What more could Joshua want than that? Verse 6, be strong and of good courage, Joshua. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very, very courageous, Joshua, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, Joshua, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is number two, God's principle for greatness. God's principle for greatness. Three times God has repeated the command to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Verse number 6, verse number 7, verse number 9. The question is how? How does one be strong and courageous? How could Joshua find the strength and courage to follow God's will for him as proposed? Certainly God's promises to him in these early verses might serve as a point of motivation, but how could Joshua lead a nation of bricklayers to conquer the promised land? More recently, a nation of homeless people to do battle and to make war with the people of Canaan. How could Joshua be sure that he wouldn't fail as a leader? How could Joshua be sure that he wouldn't be the world's biggest flop as a commander, the laughingstock of all of history? How in the world could Joshua ever fill the shoes of his great predecessor, Moses? What was God's principle for greatness? The central principle of Joshua's greatness would be the Word of God, the book of the law, verse number 8, if you're looking at the scripture. Even though Joshua would have special and direct revelation from God and leading from the Lord, that was not to detract from the central reference point and the chief control of Joshua's life, the written Word of God, this book of the law. You see, folks, Joshua was to function in the very same way that we are to function today as New Testament believers, following the precepts and the principles of the Scriptures. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Even the Old Testament, even the Pentateuch or the Torah, all Scripture is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine. That's what is right. For reproof, that's what is not right. For correction, that's how to get right. For instruction in righteousness, that's how to stay right, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. So the central principle for greatness was the Word of God. From these verses, verses 6 through 9, letter A, Joshua was to know God's Word. Joshua was to know God's Word. Nowhere, however, do the words know or learn or study, can they be found in verses 6 through 9, but they are presupposed by the command to observe. Joshua was to observe God's Word. Consequently, he needed to know God's Word. How do you know God's Word? More than ever before, you have the opportunity to know God's Word. We have God's Word for us in the English language. You might attend an adult Bible fellowship or Sunday services each week, midweek Bible study, Twin Cities Bible Institute, TCBI, WCTS Radio, Central Seminary, books, magazines, the internet. Are you kidding me? We have so much opportunity to know God's Word. We ought to know God's Word better than anyone else in all of history. In Joshua's day, God's written Word was not available in print, of course. So it was propagated and preserved by oral repetition alone. It was the speaking and the hearing of God's Word that was the primary means of knowing God's Word, which leads us to letter B, the demand that Joshua talk about God's Word in verse number 8. Joshua was to talk about God's Word. You see, there was to be a recitation of God's Word from Joshua's mouth all the time. He was to speak the Bible. Experts tell us that the best way to remember something is to repeat something. For instance, I have a terrible time remembering everyone's name. It's just very difficult to remember everyone's name. And someone will give me their name and And it seems like 5 minutes later, I don't even remember who it was I just met or what their name is. After lamenting my problem with names, someone gave me a tip. The problem is I don't remember who gave me the tip. But here's the tip. Someone coached me, said, Matt, when you meet someone new, repeat the person's name back to them immediately after they introduce themselves by calling them by name. And then before you're finished speaking with them, repeat their name again. It will help you remember their name. It might go like this. Hi, my name is Matt. What's your name? Well, my name's Bob. Bob, good to meet you, Bob. After some small talk and some conversation, I might repeat, it was good to meet you, Bob. I hope to see you again sometime, Bob. Take care, Bob. Lord bless you, Bob. Then I can turn to someone else and say, have you met Bob? You see, by this time, I've memorized Bob's name, and I know Bob well. To keep us from forgetting God's word, we need to verbally repeat God's word all the time. In fact, parents, you listen to me. This is your specific responsibility from Deuteronomy chapter 6. These words which I command you today will be in your heart or your mind. You may forget them, so this is what you do. Teach them diligently to your children and talk of them. When you sit down, when you rise up, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, rise up, move here, there, in, out, continue to repeat the words of God so that you don't forget. Joshua was to talk about God's word. It was not to depart from his mouth, verse number 8. Third, Joshua was to meditate on God's word. Meditate in it day and night, verse number 8. Psalm 119:97 says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. What do you think about during the course of a day? Do you think about the financial markets? Your favorite ball team? Current events? How do you meditate on God's word all the day long? It may demand a bit of memorization. And again, that's difficult. Joshua was to meditate on God's word. Letter D, Joshua was to obey God's word. And you might add, he was to obey God's word in its entirety. Letter D. Joshua was to obey God's word in its entirety. Verse number 8 says, all the law. He was to observe to do according to all that was written in it. I might pick up in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you to do. To not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. You see, folks, that is the secret to greatness for Joshua. And this is not rocket science. This is very, very simple, but it's the secret to success. A lot has been made about the notion of success or prosperity. Today, many preach a health and wealth prosperity gospel message. Of course, California's Robert Schuller has historically been the voice of the health and wealth prosperity message. Now, Texan Joel Osteen is the spokesperson for the health and wealth prosperity gospel message for the current generation. But the success and the prosperity that is referenced here comes when a person follows God's will by obeying God's word. It doesn't have anything to do with how much money you have or how few problems you have. In fact, one might be successful in God's eyes, but be a failure in the world's eyes. One might be a success in the world's eyes, but be a failure in God's eyes. Prosperity and success is the fulfillment and the accomplishment of God's will for you as revealed in His Word. Often, believers will ask me, Pastor Matt, I just really troubled. I don't know God's will for my life. Should I buy the Ford or the Chevy? Should I go to this community college or this community college? And we stress and we fuss over trivial matters when we have ignored so much of God's written, revealed word to us. And oh, if we were to have success in our Christian lives, it would be for us to search the scriptures daily and discover what God would have us to do written here. And then we would prosper. In the commissioning of a new commander, God's principles for greatness is the attention to and the obedience of the scripture. Verse number 9. Have I not commanded you, Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is number three, God's presence to guide. God's promises to give, God's principles for greatness, God's presence to guide. Joshua 1:9, of course, is a life verse of many. Perhaps it's a verse that you have claimed as well. It's claimed by graduates who stand on the threshold of the real world, ready to cross over their Jordan River into the big, unknown land of college and career. But Joshua 1:9 gives us insight into Joshua's state of mind. For you see, although God had promised Joshua success, Joshua needed reassurance. Just as Moses needed reassurance. Moses felt inadequate for the task that God wanted him to do. Joshua was fearful of what lay ahead, and I can identify. For you see, this preacher too is insecure and fearful. The only antidote to this insecurity is a constant awareness of the presence of God in your life. For 40 years, Joshua had experienced God's presence in a very visual way. For 40 years, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. But what about us? Well, today we have the presence of God and the person of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Oh, but Pastor Matt, I can't see him. I can't feel him. I can't know him. Oh, really? Today we have the promise that God is omnipresent. He's always with us. We know the promise that where two or three are gathered, he is there among us in a special way. But sometimes that seems to be abstract and metaphysical. It's pie in the sky by and by. It's the textbook counsel of the preacher. But how do I know God's presence daily in my life? Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. You say, Pastor, that doesn't help me. You're just spewing Bible verses at me. Give me something that I can hold on to, something that I can see, something that I can know of the presence of God, so that I can follow his direction. Psalm 119:105 says this. You know it. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You have a difficult time discerning God's direction and God's will in your life. It's all spelled out right here. It's written in black and white. God's word. Number four, God's plan for granting. God's plan for granting. We need to complete the chapter. Joshua chapter 1, as we pick up in verse number 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. You see, God has promised this land. And today is the day that we prepare to go possess that land. Verse 12, and to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, the east side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you. And they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession on the east side of the Jordan River and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commands and does not heed your words, as we experienced some 40 years ago, when the children of Israel, our fathers and grandfathers, refused to follow the leadership of Moses, forgive my paraphrasing and editorializing, in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong, Joshua, and of good courage. God's plan for granting. We don't hear much about land grants anymore, but in earlier times they were common. Of course, the term land grant refers to a gift of land usually made by a government intended for something like a park or a road or even a college. I believe Texas A&M, maybe Florida A&M were land grants given by the government. Perhaps you didn't realize it, but the tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh had received and accepted their land grants on the east side of the Jordan River. The key then to Joshua's leadership, however, was to keep those 2.5 tribes faithful and engaged in the conquest while assuring them that the land on the east side of the Jordan was theirs to return to after the promised land was conquered. And fortunately, they followed Joshua's leadership. In fact, all of the people rallied together around Joshua and they comforted him by asking that God's presence would be with him and encouraged Joshua that he be of strength and good courage. And so we begin the book of Joshua and the conquest of the promised land. The book of Joshua is exciting. It's the things that movies are made of. All of the drama of battle and conquest and adventure as God commissions Joshua and then leads the children of Israel across the Jordan into the promised land. Responding to God's call and commissioning for life demands strength and courage. Folks, God has not called us to conquer enemy territory. But he's called us to be obedient, to trust him and to obey in very little areas of life. Where do we find the courage to follow his direction? I submit that it's trusting in the person and the promises of God. He will give you great success. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the record of what you did in the life of Joshua and the children of Israel. God, as we explore the book of Joshua, as we learn of your will and your ways and your mighty works in the children of Israel as they conquered the promised land, I pray, Lord, that you would give us a bigger view of our great God. Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn principles from the lives of these frail men. And Lord, tonight and tomorrow, as we step out into a big, bad world, I pray that you would give us courage. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for your presence. Help us to trust and obey. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.